Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod. Tensions are high in Phoenix as Earl Watson gets fired and Eric Bledsoe gets sent home. But what's going to happen to the point guard? We'll be giving our insight on the Fultz injury, as well as the potential trade of Nikola Mirotic. And in a new edition of the Busick Manuel Scale, we'll be hitting some hot topic items, like, did Draymond truly deserve to be sent off against the Wizards? And will Blake Griffin take home this year's MVP? So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to this edition of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. My name is Nick Busink, and the jet lag from my trip has hit me like a truck. My sleeping patterns are all out of whack, Jackie.
I like it. I'll sleep with you, Nick.
Oh,
you
lovely.
Come back to the couch over here.
Oh, lovely. I look forward to it. And with me today on this episode 2.3, we have the J-Man J-Pod, Jack Manuel. How are we, mate?
I don't want to be here, Nick. Let's get right to this whole shit show that's the Phoenix Suns. I don't want to be here. Take me somewhere. Get me out of Phoenix. London's not too bad, but get me out of Phoenix.
You're not in Phoenix, Jack.
Phoenix would be nicer weather right now than London. It's a bit cloudy as it
most,
tends to be.
Most places would be nicer weather than London right now, mate.
Well, what's it like in Melbourne right now?
It was hot as balls, extremely windy, and now it's raining. Classic Melbourne.
That is Melbourne in a nutshell.
It's literally raining right now. You get the nice humid weather and then down come the thunder. Down come the rains. The rains
like
are
thunder.
In.
Lightning, the way you love me. It's frightening, Nick. And with that horrible, horrible pun, let's get to the news.
This is news with JBT. Yeah, that was my... Yeah, no.
Are you trying to be like Tom Brokaw or fucking Peter Hitchener? I reckon you could be... You've got a newsman's voice.
Well, I could be an anchor. I just don't have a face for TV. That's the only problem. I definitely have a face for radio.
You are perfect on podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See, you get me. You understand.
Absolutely, man.
All right. Let's kick on with the JBT news. Earl Watson has been fired. Oh, no. Who saw that coming? It was actually really early in the season. I was actually very surprised to see an NBA coach go that early.
Three games.
Oh, I know. It was crazy. It was crazy. Like, they were ridiculous losses, but come on. And Eric Bledsoe has been sent back home after a bodacious tweet, mate.
Bodacious doesn't make any sense.
Shut up,
by the
Jack.
Way.
I'm not a words man.
Bodacious means you have a nice body.
It was
so
a bodacious tweet.
Nice body.
It was
like
a very sensual tweet.
85 characters.
Don't question my methods.
You suck at English, but I like the word, and I still want you to spell bodacious. Spell it for me.
Bo. B O. D-A-C-I-O-U-S? Yeah? Was that right?
Good man.
I was worried it was T. Like bodacious.
You're spelling better than your vocabulary choice.
Spell it. Say a Antetokounmpo, mate. Yeah, do you want to get into this? That was better. That was actually decent.
Yeah.
Good job. Anyway.
I've been doing a lot of basketball stuff.
Anyway, Eric Bledsoe will be likely traded in the next few weeks. You're a basketball man, Jack. You're a bit of an expert. I assume you've been covering this a little bit over the week. Where do you reckon he will be going? Or where's a good fit for him? Who's got the pieces?
Funnily enough, Nick, I've been writing again for a new place. I'm doing some NBA previews for this website, Real Sport. And I've got an article previewing the Knicks-Nuggets game coming up on Monday. And I put in a little bit of a word about Eric Bledsoe's fit with Denver. They've really struggled with that guard position. You know, Jamal Murray hasn't had the season so far that the Nuggets would have liked to have. He's not really a natural point guard. Bledsoe sort of fits them quite nicely. He's not really a ball dominant guy. Allows Nikola Jokic to sort of be the primary guy in that offense. There's been talk of Milwaukee, but the trades, the trade ideas coming out of there, I don't like for Milwaukee, for example. You know, I wouldn't like them to give up a Brogdon or a Thonba Kerr, anyone of that ilk. If they can somehow convince the Suns of giving, taking maybe a John Henson or a Dellavedova, then that'd be much more to their liking because, you don't mess with something that's working right now. And, Thon has tremendous upside. Malcolm Brogdon is a perfect fit alongside Giannis. If they can get him on the cheap, I'd do it. Even the Knicks have been thrown in there, but, they've got that many shitty point guards. I guess any one is an upgrade over, fucking Jarrett Jack. But who do you like as a fit in there? My preference is Denver.
Yeah, I don't mind Denver. I've been hearing a lot of buzz for Milwaukee, but it's all a matter of who can make the trade happen, and I don't really know how all the pieces are going to fit because his trade value is going to plummet now because Phoenix don't want him anymore. He doesn't want to be in Phoenix anymore. So the offering team has the upper hand. They're not going to get the offers that they would have fielded, say, a season ago, where I think the Knicks actually made an offer to Bledsoe. I don't exactly remember what the package was.
They were wanting Natil Akina and Willie Hernan Gomez, but the Knicks refuted that because it's despite the fact that they haven't played Hernan Gomez many minutes, Natil Akina looked really nice in his first outing against the Knicks, and that would just be classic Knicks if they did that. I think Denver, the offer from Denver looks likely. Kenneth Faried and Emmanuel Mudiay and a possible pick if the Suns can somehow extract one. Mudiay is young. He hasn't really fit overly well with Denver. He's, he's not really a nice shooter. His defense is okay. I like Kenneth Faried has been surprisingly good upon doing some research. His PER is one of the best on the teams, despite the fact that he's playing bugger all minutes. And when he's on the floor, he's in general a net plus. So despite the fact that his value has plummeted because of the fact that the Nuggets basically don't want him, if they can get rid of him and Mudiay for Bledsoe, I'd take that in a heartbeat. But the Suns are holding firm because I think I'm kind of surprised that the deal hasn't been done yet. So I guess we shall wait and see on this one. But speaking of shit shows, not Nick's life, but the Sixers management of Markel Fultz and his shoulder injury has been just that. First, it was initially reported that he had fluid taken out of his shoulder. I don't know how that's done. Then his agent came out and clarified that cortisone was actually put into his shoulder. Nick, what is it with the Sixers and how they communicate their injury management? Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid especially.
Yeah,
the Sixers are sort of struggling. Their PR and media team, it leaves a lot to be desired.
Well, I think it's more communication breakdowns between the Fultz camp and the Sixers camp. I'm not entirely sure that they're meeting eye to eye on how serious or not serious Fultz's injury is. I think the Sixers are saying it's not very serious, playing it down. I think they only called him out for a few games. I think it was 3 weeks.
3 games, yeah.
3 games. Whereas the Fultz party are making it out like it could become a very, very serious problem, which it sounds like it. And, fluid shouldn't be in your shoulder. So, that's not good. But it would explain everything. Everything that has happened with Fultz in this whole between the preseason and the start of the season, in the change of shots, in the lack of taking threes, considering he was such a prolific three-point shooter in college. It's hard to place this one because it stands, his shoulder injury is still, he's still out for that initial first few days, yeah?
I think they're up to probably game two.
Until the beginning of November, he's been ruled out. I feel like you should just pull him.
November.
take
I put
him
it
out.
To you though, Nick. Why? There's no pressure surrounding the Sixers right now. They've got Joel Embiid balling out. Ben Simmons is leading the rookie race by a country mile.
Mm.
Why can't they just say he's out indefinitely? And
exactly,
then if
that's,
he comes back,
exactly right.
Yeah, like, and if he comes back before that, you know, it's gravy, which is just brown and water. But if he does, if he doesn't, then there's no big loss. You know, get him healthy, get him right. I don't understand why, whether it was on, I'm guessing it was probably on Markel, the fact that he wanted to be out there and, you know, and playing and,
of course,
and helping
of
out
course,
the team.
Yeah.
But he's no benefit to them as a subpar player. You
know? No, not shooting the way he is, not shooting threes, which is one of his weapons. And that free throw action is just horrific. Get him right before, get him at his peak on the court and you'll be right.
Yeah,
there's like you said. There's no reason for him not to be pulled.
We'll obviously keep an eye on that one.
Yeah, definitely. Moving on a little bit, mate. There were rumors surrounding Nikola Mirotic and the fact he wants to either move back to Europe or be traded to the Bulls. What do you make of these? What do you make of these rumors, mate?
Well, Nick, if someone I worked with punched me in the face, I don't know if I'd want to work with them anymore. I don't know. How about you?
That is a that's a fair call. would you rather keep Bobby Portis or Mirotic?
You'd probably rather keep Bobby, just purely on the fact he's got youth on his side. He probably fits better into Fred Hoiberg's system. You know, Nikola only got the qualifying offer after months and months of negotiation, so it's not like really he's a wanted piece at the Bulls. I can see the Bulls trading for him, but you know, they're not really going to get much in return. Though anything that they can get would be a nice return, because they need to sort of, you know, stockpile some assets, because they're sort of obviously in that rebuilding phase. But Nikola going back to Europe was a bit of a shock, because he's, you know, if you're not in the NBA, you're not playing against the best talent. You're not making the most money that you can, unless obviously, you know, if you're on that vet minimum, you're likely to make a bit more in Europe or in China. But Nikola is good enough to be on, you know, a mid-level exception, a five to anywhere from a $5 to $15 million deal. He's good enough to get. He's got that talent. I mean, a face injury doesn't mean when he comes back he's not going to be still a capable shooter. So I think it might be a bit rash of him to say that he wants to go back to Europe, but maybe he's just, this is just a culmination of all these things putting him off the whole NBA experience. We're not in his shoes, but maybe it's just the whole, it's all been put together. He's, you know, the contract offer and, you know, that punch in the face was the turning point.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a whole accumulation of things. I mean, if I was Mirotic, I would be pretty dirty about the suspension that the Bulls have had laid down on Bobby Portis. And that might have been, that would have been a, you know, a screw the wrong way. You don't know what's happening during his recovery. You know, he might not be getting the support that he wants. There's so many question marks revolving this, but you can understand why, just from what we've seen, why he'd want to be traded. Like you said, no one wants to be punched in the face, mate. No one.
I don't mind being punched in the face.
Mate, shouldn't want to be punched in the face with a schnoz that big. See, my schnoz is already flattened.
Maybe it fixes it, Nick. You know how you get punched in the face and sometimes like it moves it around a bit?
You'll look like Owen Wilson.
Hey, Owen Wilson is one of the most charming men in Hollywood, so I'll take that.
You got to say wow, right? You can't be an Owen Wilson and not say wow.
Wow.
I definitely need a soundbite of Owen Wilson saying wow.
Yes! If we hadn't known that was coming up, I'm sure you would have gotten it.
I'm going to write. Do I have pen and paper? I'll remember it. I need to get
it. In our editing phase, I'm sure Nick will try and find one. Should we head to a break before we do our DP of the week, mate, or do you want to keep plugging through?
We'll head to a quick break. We'll get that that wow soundbite, I reckon.
Wow.
All right. After this, we've got some Busick Manuel Scale, and some Rookie Watch.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. Give us a rating and review on iTunes.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Kicking off here with the Busink Manuel scale with some DPs of the week discussion points. So for those of you who are new to the podcast, the Busink Manuel scale is a little thing that we devised in which we rate NBA rumors or likely events or anything really. Anything that has some degree of discussion. So we rate them in terms of alternative fact, so it's not going to happen. Fact, it is going to happen. And we got a little bit of ones in between. Twitter fact, which means it's closer to an alternative fact. And Wikipedia fact, which is closer to a fact. So they're the little ones in between. But you'll get it as it goes, like, as it goes along. It was a bit of a bad explanation, but we'll get it. All right, so first one here, mate. Draymond Green did not deserve to be ejected following his scuffle with Bradley Beal against the Wizards.
I'm sure you'll like my answer, Nick. This is an alternative fact. I had a chat to you, and you sort of, because I hadn't really seen the highlights yet. I wasn't really. I had a look at it, and I watched some of the parts of the game. He had a tech to his name already, so I think he was always going to get another tech. So I think this is an alternative fact, but it was certainly Bradley Beal who initiated contact and initiated the scuffle.
Oh, definitely. It was dirty from Bradley Beal. Like, if he was trying to get Draymond ejected by like a little, like it was slight contact. It was a little tap on the cheek. Like, but they were already at each other's throats. So that's all it needed. And then Draymond saw it, then they started hugging each other. I'm sure there's a nice video of the Titanic music over that, and it would be very lovely.
But that was definitely
worthy of a tech for both of them. I said it as soon as it happened. Yeah, they both need to get ejected. Not because Draymond, it was bad on Draymond. He already had that tech for mouthing off to the ref, and he was doing it the whole game. He needs to learn to shut up sometimes because he's a brilliant player, but he gets himself into trouble far too often. But yeah, alternative fact, he definitely did deserve to be ejected just because he had that tech.
I'll put a quick one to you, mate. Kelly Oubre, unlike Bobby Portis, needs to learn how to punch. He punched his own teammate, John Wall. And he also got a nice one to Clay Thompson. Do you think, upon review, if the league looks at this, that he could miss the game or he at least gets a fine?
Throwing punches is never... I mean, we think back to the brawl between, who was it, Noah and Gasol last year?
Yeah.
Remember
and
when they were throwing punches? They were both suspended. If it's as clear cut, I mean, I didn't see it. I had to rush off to work after the second half. So as soon as the verdict was made, I pretty much left. I didn't sit there and analyze the punch on. So I didn't see what Oubre did. But if it's as clear cut as you say, then it's a definite suspension. You can't be throwing punches on a NBA court. And you know, he's a young kid, young blood. He's a fiery defensive forward, and I love him. But, yeah, it's being impartial here. He definitely deserves some games if he was throwing punches. Your take, mate? You obviously saw it in greater detail.
Yeah, I think it wasn't a good look. Maybe, you know, it was all just arms and legs and he's just a long man and the arm just got caught and he was trying to break people up. But it wasn't a good look. And I mean... I think the worst thing about Kelly Oubre Jr. is that he looks like what LaMelo Ball is going to grow up to look like. But Kelly Oubre is a lot sexier version of that, if that makes sense.
Yes, I agree. Completely. Very astute observation.
If you have no follow-up questions, then yes. We completely agree, yes. that's you.
Yes. Mate, hot takes here. Giannis is the third best player in today's game. What you got?
Alternative fact.
Ooh.
Alternative fact.
All right, who's better?
LeBron.
Yep.
Steph. Keaton. And
all right. I agree. If we're talking, if we're talking this whole league, like who can make the biggest impact? But if we're, are we talking right now? Like six games in? Look, there is things that Giannis have not seen people do.
No, he is an Inspector Gadgets on the NBA court. I'm not disagreeing with you, Nick, but I think let's temper the hype a little bit.
Mate, let's blow this hype right out of proportion. I'm saying alternative fact as well, but not because he's the third best player in today's game. He's the second best player in today's game.
Oh, God! Nick! No!
Hot takes, Jackie. Hot takes.
Your hot takes, I'm going to need some ointment.
If we're talking this year, he's leading the MVP race right now. And the only person
five games into the NBA season.
The only person who gets a stature above him is the king himself because he has earned it.
Look, your
silence is deafening.
I could argue that Steph Curry has a better chance at winning the MVP this year because the Warriors win 65 games or so. And
shall we review the standings? Shall we? Yes.
I think it's five games, you idiot.
Actually, Golden State have a better win record, but they've played one more game. So ha.
All right, Nick.
And they almost lost to the best team in the East. So.
Are leaving me too hot and I need some to cool down a little bit. What's the next one?
But in summary, Giannis is a very good player.
Yes, he is.
Blake Griffin will win this year's MVP. We got some juicy ones here, mate.
I'm going to give it to cheeky little Twitter. Give it a little tweet.
Oh, yeah, Twitter fact, all right. So it's got some truth to it, but it's a bit skeptical.
There's some juiciness to it that I like. Like with Giannis. Now, Giannis has been far more dominant, but the Clippers as a team have been far more dominant. And Blake Griffin has been the spearhead of that. I had an article come out last week on the Clippers' hot start, and Blake Griffin has been knocking down. He's been raining threes. He looks really comfortable with that three-point shot. And the fact that he has that range now makes him such a force. And he's still dunking on people like there's no tomorrow. Like people are saying, he's going to lose with that injury.
Against the Stifle Tower himself. That was so good.
The reaction, though, just like the emotionless face. It was beautiful. Like, I love the NBA is full of highlights, and it's been five games, and that's all. It's already been killing it.
I mean, his career.
Twitter, I reckon.
Sorry, go on.
I was going to give him. I'm going to give him a cheeky tweet just because I think that if the Clippers supersede people's expectations and they end up finishing top four, which I had in one of my preseason takes on OTG, I think that he's going to be at the head of that, and I reckon that they could make it. Needs to stay healthy, though.
Yeah, that is definitely true. I mean, look, just give him 10 more games and he'll be out soon. That's why I'm giving this one an alternative. Not for the fact that he isn't playing well. He is increased in career. Like, he's above average in points, rebounds, assists, and he's blowing his three-point percentage out of the bloody water right now. So he's obviously making it work in LA, being the guy, which is what I was excited about ever since Chris Paul left. I was keen to see him being the ball handler and even being that spot-up shooter. So he's been looking good, but he won't last the season. It's a hashtag alternative fact. He will punch a wall or a fire hydrant or someone.
Fire hydrant.
He will punch Bobby Portis in the face.
Are there fire hydrants in LA? Does it rain? What's happening currently.
Mate, if there's fire safety in LA, then there's fire hydrants.
That's a fair call.
He'll punch something or he'll twist his ankle. I don't wish it upon him, of course. But something will happen to him. Something always happens to him. I'm sorry, Blake, but I have no faith in your healthiness.
Well, I'm sure he's listening all the way in LA in his giant LA mansion.
Of course. I mean, who else?
On his bed, on his bed full of beautiful and piles of money with many beautiful.
Yeah, that one.
What's the next one you got for me, mate? That's
a good question, mate. I haven't got that up yet. The NBA should end its ban on marijuana. This is in response to David Stern's comments on the Uninterrupted, who has originally been an advocate for the ban when he was overseeing the league. So, Jack, where do you stand on the marijuana?
Bit of Mary J, Nick.
Mary J.
You were in Amsterdam recently, and maybe you're the expert on this.
Did it often. Yeah.
Yeah, you got those hash cookies, and you brought some over. You smuggled them into London.
I was high AF.
I shouldn't say that, like, Nick smuggled drugs on a podcast.
When it's Jamel not Chappelle. True. I didn't even do it. I was the only I was one of the only people in Amsterdam that was sober.
Okay, well, there we go. That is the truth for any federal people to this right now.
I'm a good boy.
He's a good boy. Nick is a very good boy. But I like the fact that David Stern has shown some progression. I think he was very heavy-handed in the way that he ran in the 2000s, and Adam Silver has sort of been the anti-David Stern. But I think he's seen the ways with what's happening with the NBA currently and the progression, the social progression that it's had. And marijuana, like, it's legal in that many states in America anyway. Maybe the NBA should be more reflective of that. The fact that it's not really an illicit drug anymore. I mean, we could go into detail for days on the whole illicit drug policy in different sports and the NBA specifically. But I like his thoughts, and I'm fact for this. I'm full on fact. I reckon that it's a harmless drug, and it's about as harmful as having a beer or two.
True. That's very true. I mean, like, it's not so much harmful, and, you know, it's... If we're talking, like, addictive and stuff, you know, it's as addictive as alcohol or anything like that. I mean, these are professional sportsmen who are going to have limits on themselves. They're not going to rock up to a NBA game high. It's going to affect their basketball.
Who do you think,
like,
though?
It's like assuming that they're going to rock up to an NBA game drunk.
Yeah, but just to cut you off quickly, Nicky boy... out of all the players in the NBA, who do you think, if they were to end the ban, who would rock up to a game high? There's bound to be
Swaggy
one.
Pete.
There's bound to be one. Did you say Swaggy
JR,
Pete?
Oh, JR, yeah, he already has.
JR? Yeah. JR would rock up drunk.
That's true. Like, off Hennessy. He would. Off Hennessy, yeah. With no shirt.
After partnering up with Rihanna. JR, no, JR's a good boy now out in Cleveland. Like, you know, there's not many clubs out there. Anyone who's in LA, like, we'll look at, like, the LA players. Like, Blake Griffin, I don't think, maybe Lou Will. Maybe you can give it to Lou Will.
Yeah, Lou Will. Or, yeah, I can. Like Swaggy P down in San Fran.
Yeah, down in California. Him and him get on it on a night or two, but keep an eye on it because I reckon there's bound to be, if this is the case, that there's bound to be some sort of marijuana scandals in the NBA. But Nick, LeBron James has been playing point guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers in the absence of Derrick Rose in a few games. I put it to you, LeBron James should be the Cavaliers' full-time point guard. Go.
Hashtag alternative fact. Would you like to know why, Jack?
Why?
Because
Nicholas?
He has already been and will always be the Cavs' point guard.
All right. Okay.
He's got a label now. He's got a label now. But he's always been the point guard. He's always been the ball handler. Always. He might palm it off to someone to run up the court, but he'll want that ball back. He'll want to be setting the plays. And even if the actual, you know, 6 foot point guard, Derrick Rose or whoever it is in this instance, has the ball, it's LeBron who's calling the plays, even if he doesn't have the ball.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm going to leave it at that. I think you summed it up quite well. The next one that we got, the Spurs, the San Antonio Spurs, should be worried about the health of their star, Kawhi Leonard, who reportedly could be out for yet another few weeks. Nick, what are your thoughts on this?
Spurs have been looking like they had that start, but they've had a few shaky games.
They have been shaky.
But have faith in that start. I think. Like,
we're on the scale, mate.
They
what
were
you got for me on the scale.
Oh right, yeah, we're doing that, aren't we? hashtag alternative fact. Twitter fact, mate. Twitter.
We've got a lot of alternatives.
I'll give it a Twitter. Mate, I'm not sitting on the fence like you with your Twitters and your Wikipedias.
I'm going to give
I'm fact or alternative.
I'm going to give us some more variants in this segment, you bum. Not just make it completely alternative.
Nah. It's a Twitter fact. It's a Twitter fact.
All right.
Like, everyone needs their star. Even a Popovich team. LA's been balling. He's been keeping the Spurs relatively afloat. Sensual, as Chaz says. Yeah, good commentary there, Chaz. But I wouldn't be worried. Like, honestly,
right.
They had, what was it, the game against Grizzlies, where they got hammered? I think they got hammered. Was it Grizzlies?
Yeah, and against the Magic as well, they were quite poor. But
yes. But
in the context,
yeah, it was the Magic, sorry. The Grizzlies lost as well, but the Magic was especially bad.
Yeah, we will get to the Magic. But more in the context of Kawhi Leonard's health, I think that there might be... I'll give this a cheeky wiki, just because that going into the season, this wasn't meant to be as serious as we first thought. And now, if we see Kawhi Leonard back next week, 100%, getting 30 points and doing everything he was doing last season, dominating the defensive end, then I'll completely retract my Wikipedia statement. But right now, I'm a little bit worried, but I'll be happy to eat my words as... I think Nick and I probably did about a million times.
He's reportedly coming back at the end of November. I mean, the start of November. That date...
Which is next week.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that date is still solid, and that's been solid for about a month now, like since September, thereabout. Oh, since probably early October. So it's
once he's back, I'll happily retract my statement. But
yeah,
right
I mean,
now,
that's why I was quoting on the Spurs start of the season, because they'll get him back. It's just they haven't been bad.
They were really bad
against the Magic, but
yeah,
which was really odd
for
a Popovich team.
The
like
Magic are going to win this year's championship, mate. I'm putting it out there. Hot take. Hashtag fact. Let's skip one and let's get to the Orlando Magic. The Orlando Magic will make this year's playoffs. Where does this rate on the Bjusic Manuel scale, Nick? Go.
They need to do some serious screwing up to mess up the start that they've had. I mean, I would have to look at their roster, which I haven't done, which I can now while you speak if you'd like. But I'm giving this a hashtag Wikipedia fact, because they would have to screw up pretty big to blow a 4-1 start, which it's only 5 games in. But this is a very, very helpful start to push their playoff series. And in the East, that might... You know, below 500 might get you a playoff spot.
Exactly. And you make a good point about that, Nick. I'll let you do a little bit of website searching. Nikola Vucevic has been balling. He's been playing like an all-star. And probably, for me, right now with Joel Embiid, probably the best center out East. If I was to vote for my all-stars, I'd vote for him right now. His PER is outstanding. Evan Fournier, on Twitter the other day, they were asking who's the most underrated player in today's NBA. Evan Fournier is averaging 22.2 points a game and is absolutely balling out and is shooting the lights out. He was my answer, and I got the most likes out of any other response. So, you know, Twitter validation is the only validation you need. And then you look at Aaron Gordon now. He had that 41-point game against my Nets, and he was just otherworldly. He was playing like showing the promise that a top five pick that he is had. Nailing threes, and not just nailing them like, you know, out of consolation. He was looked smooth, almost Blake Griffin-like in the way he was playing. I think if he can continue his form, and they look kind of deep as well. Like, you add in like a Terrence Ross, Elfrid Payton is a more than serviceable player. I think that they've got the cojones and the talent to make the postseason. So, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to give this a fact. You know, you don't want me to go on the fence, sneaky boy. The East is a weak conference. I'm going fact. Go Orlando Magic.
Yeah,
I want to see some magic in the playoffs.
Looking at who they've played, Miami, Brooklyn, Cleveland, San Antonio. that's a good, and they're 4-1.
Yeah,
like that is great. They've got
and they lost.
Sorry,
their only loss came to us, and like,
yeah, like
in that,
that is
game,
supremely impressive.
Well.
Not to mention they've played you twice, and obviously they've beaten you once, which is fine. I mean you're 1-1 with this year in the series, but they've got Charlotte, New Orleans, Memphis, Chicago, Boston, and the Knicks coming up.
Yeah.
Like, it's a decent roster. It's no easier than what they've already faced. In fact, it may be easier than what they've already faced. New Orleans and Chicago and New York.
They're looking good. I think we may have even mentioned in some of our pods or if not just in conversation, the fact that the Magic were one of those teams that just no one really cared about. And now you see teams like the Magic and the Pistons, you know, playing some decent basketball and looks like they're playoff bound. But Nick, should we get to a couple more? Or do you want to head to Rookie Watch or head to a break, mate?
We'll do one more. One more.
All right. So, in light of our Rookie Watch coming up very, very, very soon, this year's rookie class, Nick, I put to you, is the best that we have seen in decades.
Hashtag fact. I mean,
fact.
Hashtag fact, yeah. Only because I'm a very young NBA fan, and so rookie classes don't really stem that decades back. Do you want to enlighten me here, Mr. NBA fan?
Well, look, I think there's a couple that come to mind. The Steve Nash, Kevin Garnett. I think Kobe Bryant was in that one as well. I think there was a 93 or 94 one. The LeBron James 2003 draft had him, Melo, and Dwayne Wade. But other than that, it was slim pickings. The thing that I like about this draft is the fact that it runs deep.
Well,
like,
yeah, that's what I was saying. I mean, you're mentioning, you know, two or three players who are brilliant players. Like, don't get me wrong there. We're yet to see what these young kids will become. But we're getting brilliant play out of what Dennis Smith Jr. And Donovan Mitchell, who were the ninth picks or something like that.
Yep.
They were late, well, not late first rounds, but not 1 and 2.
Yep.
And so what I was saying. I mean, it's just incredibly deep. And what we're seeing from these kids is impressive.
Yeah, no, I don't dispute it, mate. And they've reinvigorated the league in a sense. Last year it was a bit bland and blasé with, you know, Malcolm Brogdon, Dario Saric.
Hmm.
Obviously Joel Embiid was awesome, but
He was drafted two years before.
Yeah, and having so many rookies, you know, balling out for their teams, even like a Brooks out in Memphis, it just makes the league more exciting and gives you something to watch as a young fan. And the fact that you know, we're going to grow up with these young prospects and see them develop into superstars. Hopefully, plenty of them have fruitful careers. But should we head to a break before Rookie Watch, my friend?
Nah, we'll power through Rookie Watch and we'll get to a break after that. Eh? Sounds good.
All right, but look, I've been watching NBA TV on the background and I'm going to change one of them. So can I do Rookie Watch?
You can do Rookie Watch. All right. Done.
All right. So, with 3 votes... Obviously, Ben Simmons, he's going to be the early favorite this year. Posts his first career triple-double early in the week in his fourth game. That gives him 3 votes 2 weeks in a row. 2 votes goes to Boston rookie Jason Tatum, who was an absolute star in their win over the Knicks, posting his first ever 20-point-plus performance, 22 points. Most likely a sign of things to come. Developing a nice partnership with Jalen Brown over there. And 1 vote originally was going to go to Bulls rookie Lauri Markkanen. But after last night's performance against the Lakers, Donovan Mitchell posted 22 points, going 9 of 16 from the field. I'm giving Donovan Mitchell 1 vote. So, going through the totals, we have Ben Simmons with a nice lead so far with 6 votes. De'Aaron Fox, who was unlucky not to make it this week, with 2 votes. Jason Tatum with 2 votes. Lonzo Ball with 1 vote. His form has been a bit shaky lately, even being benched in the Lakers game earlier in the week. And Donovan Mitchell, Jazz rookie, with 1 vote. So I'm sure that this voting count will changed week to week, but Ben Simmons has himself a nice early lead.
Let's just see how it all goes later in the season, because that's the big question with rookies. How well they can...
Longevity.
Exactly. Yep. How the longevity... There's a sentence that makes sense. I just can't find it. I'm bad.
How can sustain their form will be what determines how well they play.
Thank you, Jack.
They go in the JBT Rookie Watch. Because Ben Simmons winning Rookie Watch will be the crowning highlight of his career. And even if he wins an MVP, he will have to have on his resume winner of JBT Rookie Watch.
Damn right. All right. Let's head to a break. On the other side, we've got JB Team of the Week and this week's Off Topic. You're listening to JBT Podcast. Be sure to head on Facebook and give us a like. Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Jackie, shall we kick things off with a brand new JB Team of the Week?
Let's do it, mate. Let's see who's in the running for the JB Team of the Year.
Curry, way down to Bang!
JB Team of the Week.
Yes, this is JB Team of the Week. This is where me and Jack pick a NBA team for the week just passed based on the performances of the week. One for each position: point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center. So I'll take the backcourt if you don't mind, Jackie. At the point guard position, Aussie sensation Ben Simmons is the first ever Australian to post a triple-double, getting 21 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists in a win over the Pistons in just his fourth game, may I add. Very impressive stuff from Ben Simmons, making rookie watch as well, so he's doing well. At the shooting guard, in a Pacers loss to the Thunder, Victor Oladipo put up some hefty, hefty numbers. 35 points, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks, and a steal. Not bad from Dips.
Dips.
As my brother likes to call him. Jack, you want to take the front court, mate?
Front court, LeBron James making his second appearance in JB Team. Playing the point guard, set up his team's win over the Bulls, posting 34 points and 13 assists in yet another clinical passing display from the King. At the power forward position, Anthony Davis led the Pelicans to their opening win of the season against the Lakers with 27 points, 17 rebounds, 3 assists and 3 blocks. And at the center position, DeMarcus Cousins, he had a night out against his former team, the Kings, posting a monster 41 points. 23 rebounds, 6 assists, a block, and a steal. Boogie is the first ever player since 2001 to put up at least 40, 20, and 5 in a game. And he followed that up with a triple-double.
I was going to say, not to mention the triple-double, yeah.
He's the first player since Wilt Chamberlain in 1968-69 to follow up a 40, 20 game with a triple-double game. So,
mate, that sounds like a stat of the week.
Nick, we don't do start of the week anymore, so we've got to chuck him in somewhere. Boogie dominating.
Yeah, no, definitely. That was crazy. The standings, I reckon we leave the standings as a secret for the JB Team of the Week, and then announce it as a...
Maybe for like...
Or we do like a, maybe like a, an all-star sort of recap.
Yep.
Or leaderboard. Yep. Yeah, I like it.
Yep.
All right, so we're tallying the JB Teams of the Week, this year, seeing how many people get how many appearances. Whoever makes the most appearances at the end gets the coveted nothing.
Nick, it's coveted. I've wanted nothing for my entire life. All right, what do we got next, mate?
Before we actually go on, I'd actually like to think of the reasoning behind Ben Simmons at the point guard.
Look, I wanted to reward him. There's been some great performances from, you know, James Harden, Russell Westbrook throughout the week. But Ben Simmons' triple-double the other night was probably one of the better triple-doubles. Russell Westbrook got a triple-double against the Bulls, which, you know, means he now has a triple-double against every team in the NBA in his career.
Yeah, saw that, yeah.
But he didn't do it in emphatic fashion as Ben Simmons did. So I want to reward some great performances, some standout performances that you won't see like all the time. Yes, LeBron is always going to be likely to get in there, Davis and Cousins. But the shooting guard position is one that, you know, is quite open this year. You know, Victor Oladipo putting up some nice numbers in the box. So if, you know, Chris Paul comes back, then James Harden might have that. So, you know, I'm all about rewarding those standout performances that make a difference.
And it's our show, so we can put Ben Simmons wherever the frick we want to put him.
Well, you can get out.
You can get out. Damn right. All right, mate. Let's move on, shall we, to some off-topic. Yeah.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What? 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 What?
What? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Yes, this week's off topic comes from the one and only Robin Lopez. I don't know why I said one and only. He's not that
because he's got a brother.
He does. Of the Chicago Bulls, who believes the Space Jam movie should have been a 7-minute short based...
Blasphemy!
Quote, based on everything we know from Looney Tunes and... What? And Merry Melodies.
Merry Melodies.
Yeah, sorry. Merry Melodies, yeah. If Bugs came upon aliens, he would have just needed 7 minutes to defeat them. All right, mate, do you agree or disagree with this one, initially?
Look, okay, I see where he's coming from, and Robin Lopez is a known sort of cartoon nerd, so I get it. Bugs, he's got some tools. He knows what he's doing.
Looney Tunes, but, I mean, Looney Tunes, he's got a point. Looney Tunes shorts were short, but you could say that this was a monster of a problem.
How long have you been doing?
Well over 5 minutes. You know, it's that took me a while. In fact, I didn't even come up with it. So,
in terms of the fact that if we look at the length of the entire Space Jam movie, it's only like 88 minutes long anyway. So it's not like it's a 2-hour Christopher Nolan movie.
Exactly. If it's short for a feature. You know, for its time, it was very revolutionary, may I just add. But that's a different time.
But, okay, so how can we pick out the best 7 minutes of Space Jam? This is going to be probably the best 7 minutes of cinematic history. Better than, you know, Inception, Pulp Fiction,
Inception?
Any film put together.
He did say Inception, didn't he? Yeah.
I said Inception!
You just said it again!
I said Inception.
Yeah, I'm watching you, mate. I'm not really, but I'm listening.
You're not really. You're listening to me.
So this whole off topic is based around what are the best 7 minutes of Space Jam?
Correct. What are they?
Every Bill Murray scene.
Okay.
I'm sure if you strung them together, you'd get 7 minutes. You might...
You might get a little bit less, but what's the best Bill Murray scene? Like, is it... The golf course?
I think the whole golf course scene. You know, he takes the shot. It's like, you are my friend. You want to go in the
associate.
Hole. You are my associate. You are leaving. he takes the shot.
And he keeps
it. He keeps the stance. That's the best part.
And his headwear. His headwear.
The umbrella hat. You can't go wrong with
that. If we ever go golfing together, Nick, which we have, we've... a driving range. But we forgot to wear our umbrella hats.
We need to invest in some umbrella hats. We do.
And then after that, as they're leaving the golf course, when Michael Jordan gets sucked down into Warner Brothers Looney Tunes land, he's like, we're in no emotional state to putt there, Larry. I'm going to give us both twos.
You're going to give us both twos there.
So, all right, Bill Murray. We could quote Bill Murray for an entire podcast.
Larry's not white. Larry's clear.
I wonder if he riffed half of the stuff that, like, he just had no script.
That would
be absolutely
fantastic. Can you imagine working with Bill Murray? Just on a set?
It would be... Well, look, I've read a Bill Murray book, and there's been rumors of, like, he could be difficult, but he's also one wacky fun guy to work with. But okay, outside of those scenes, what's some highlight scenes? You got to have Michael Jordan with the outstretched arm. That's got to be a part.
Oh, that was just made you believe. You know, that was a heart. That was a heart wrenching moment. That was beautiful. Heart wrenching probably isn't the right word, but like it was heartwarming, heart lifting.
Yep.
It was. And it was lovely.
Underrated scene for me, Nicholas, when Daffy is putting on a fashion show for the Looney Tunes, and I'm quite adverse to purple myself. Looking good, Dad. That's a scene I thoroughly enjoy. But then there's also the scenes with Charles Barkley.
It wasn't a dream. It really happened.
It came out of my brain.
He's
the scene with all the NBA players was quite good. Like when they're in the hospital.
Do you have any other? Do you have any other problems in bed?
No. I'm just messing. But I love my mama. You did. We should. Okay. We're going to keep on. There's going to be literally 5 minutes of floating space, which is literally our dream. And you got any more scenes for me, here, boy?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm dying. I'm dying a little bit.
Our goal in life, and we've reached our goal. Well, and the fact that we have ads in our podcast means we are somehow getting paid
to do this. Yeah, exactly.
So, thank you everyone if you are still tuning into the Off Topic, because this has been a highlight of our JBT existence. And we might have to do like at some stage, do like a special in honor of Space Jam podcast, like on the anniversary or something, because it's part of the reason why JBT is a thing. We would not be here if not for the cinematic and basketball glory that is Space Jam.
Indeed.
Grab your Maccas. The whole scene where Stan is really good as well.
Bloody Newman.
And like the baseball scene where they're like, oh man, when I strike out Mike, man, it looks nasty, man. When you strike out, it looks good, man. It looks good.
Don't swing. I told you not to swing.
Couldn't help it.
Just the what baffles me about that movie is the ending. Why is everyone so cool with spaceships landing in the middle of the baseball field?
You need to suspend belief in Space Jam on so many levels.
And the cheesy bloody thumbs up he gives right at the end.
Well, look, his son is proud of him. I think that is, if you have beaten the Monstars, been able to come back to Earth and play a baseball game, would your son not be proud of you, Nicholas?
I guess.
We need to get on to actual basketball-related topic and do our DBS. Do we want to hit a break or do we want to smash our DBS?
Oh, let's smack it, mate. Let's raw dog it.
We're on a roll.
Drop.
Steven, I like your hustle. That's why it was so hard to cut you.
Bench.
No, God, please, no, no!
Start.
All right, that's more like it.
This is DBS.
Yes, welcome to DBS. For those of you who are new to the podcast, here's how it works. We've been given 3 basketball players, both past and present, and we have to decide who we drop, who we bench, and who we start. It's that simple. So this week's DBS is an all-center-inspired one. So we've got Boogie Cousins, Marc Gasol, and Karl Anthony Towns. Jack, who are you DBSing?
I am DBSing the following. I'm starting DeMarcus Cousins. I'm benching Marc Gasol, and I'm dropping Karl Anthony Towns. It's hard for me to say that, sort of like how we were doing when we did like the KD Kawhi ones back in the day. But Karl Anthony Towns has just been very poor defensively this season, and the team in general. I think they're last in defensive rating. He's been expected to show some progression in that area, but you know he's shown many glimpses, but he's still nothing in the realm of a Marc Gasol by any stretch. So it pains me to say it, but you know, maybe in 5 years' time, Towns gets the coveted starting position. But for now, I just can't, because Boogie and Gasol are just too good.
Yep, fair call. I kind of was a bit dirty on not starting Boogie, but I just, it's more based off a feeling, because not even the stats verify this guy. But I'm starting Marc Gasol. He had a poor game today. That's going to drastically skew his points average because it's so early in the season. But he had a game where he shot 40. He had 41, and he shot a crazy amount of three-pointers. I remember looking at his box score and watching the highlights of that game. He was absolutely incredible, and he has increased on his career and even last year's points average so far this year. When I thought he couldn't get better, it's exactly what he did. He got better. So I'm starting Gasol based purely on that. Benching Boogie because you can't deny the start that he has had. And for the same reasons, I'm dropping Towns as you. I mean, they are last in defensive rating. They're giving up 114 points a game. Sorry, per 100 possessions. And it's just dreadful. And he is one of the worst defensive centers, which is a real shame because he's so good offensively. And I cannot sing his praises enough.
And he has the capabilities. That's the thing.
He's still young. I feel like he's been focusing so hard on his offensive game, which is incredible. He's an incredible offensive talent. He just needs to shore up that paint, because they're letting too many easy buckets.
Like he's sort of like a lumbering presence in the paint. He's very mobile.
He's active. Yeah,
that's one of his strengths. But I'll pose a question to you, Nick. If you were to vote right now for your all-star picks, who would you have as your starting center?
Probably Boogie.
Yeah.
He started, which kind of goes against what I was just saying for my props to Marc Gasol. But people look at stats. I mean, I'm sort of going off a feeling here, which is pretty bad. Like,
they're like the lawyer from the castle. It's just the feeling. It's just the marbo. It's the vibe.
It's just the... Boogie has these seasons. It's just Gasol has taken me by surprise two seasons in a row.
And you look at where the Grizzlies are at as well.
Exactly. Like, they're doing so well off the back of Conley and Gasol.
Yeah. And I mean, look, I'm always going to question you, mate, because that's what we're about. We're about having a bit of banter, a bit of a debate. But
Indeed. If
you're looking at overall career, you can't deny Marc Gasol and the fact that he's sort of been able to revolutionize and transform
exactly.
his game.
Exactly. He's completely changed his game.
But Boogie, the reason I start Boogie is just because on a consistent basis, he puts up these ridiculous numbers.
He does, yeah.
The effect it has on his team, though, might be a little less than could be desired. But I still think, this was one thing that I was going to talk about in our Abusive Manuel scale. Just to sort of finish off with, Nick, do you think the Pelicans keep Boogie Cousins to the end of the season? Or if they continue to struggle, despite their win over the Cavs, if they struggle and are looking at the All-Star break, they're not going to make the playoffs, they try and trade him and get some assets.
It depends. If they've shown clear progression, I think they will try to keep him. Just because they got him so recently. I'd say give it another season to make it work. The West is so packed right now, you can't blame... You can't blame them for not making the playoffs this year. Like, it was a goal. It was a goal. But from what we've seen, there might still be some growing pains. Yeah. And they've got too many... What the Pelicans have in Davis and Boogie, they've got too many X factors, I think. And that means they need a third person to fire to win.
Josh Smith.
Yeah, sure. But like they've got too many X factors on that team that Boogie and Davis can play their hearts out. But if they've got no perimeter shooting, if Drew Holiday and stuff don't fire from the sides.
Yeah, I mean, each one more and this is not going to shoot 70% from the field on every night.
Yeah, exactly,
sure.
So, yeah.
It's just a fair one. I just thought I'd pose it to you to end with, Nicholas.
Very nice.
Do you want to do the outro, or can I do the outro?
You want to do the outro? Let's change it up. Fuck it. Let you do it, mate.
Yeah. Just as ever, guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio. Shout out to those guys. And any decent pod center. And remember to rate and review the show, because it helps other people find us and add to the conversation. You can get in touch with us personally on Twitter. Nick is at JBTWillNJ, and I am at TheJManJBT. Also, for some awesome fire content, hit up at OTG Basketball on Twitter or OTGBasketball.com. Find your boy on there. You can also find us on Facebook. We've always posted some awesome stuff there. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/JBTPodcast or on Instagram at JBTPod. Also through email at jbtpodcast@gmail.com. We want you guys to hit us up. We want to add to it. We want you guys to be a part of it. We're growing, and we want you to grow with us. Remember, it is you guys who make the show great, so appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars.